Well, good evening, everyone, and thank you for spending part of your Tuesday with us. My name is JB, along with my broadcast partner, DeMarco Farr, and this is the GM Les Snead Show, and it's a Week 5 edition, preparing for the Dallas Cowboys coming off the loss in Santa Clara against the 49ers. It's a short week, and unfortunately, Les, this is a familiar position that we put you in, seemingly year after year. We need to see you on different terms.
Yes. Can you fill in the audience? Why this is familiar?
Well, when it is a short week, and recently the Rams have had some tough Monday Night Football affairs, Les comes in to help us cover the Coach McVay show, and we'd like to see you after a win.
We're about 0 for our last. I quit counting.
I know.
Really? You come on after a Monday Night loss?
Yes.
I had never even factored that in. Wow, really? That's got to stink.
It is. You talk about being anti-fragile or having some panic rules. Is this another one of those moments for you and the organization?
I was panicking, tried to avoid it, but Artis was kind enough to, you know, get me to the couch.
Sure. At least the room is different. We've taken over your draft room and is now our studio headquarters.
This is the best room at CLU by far.
Do you miss it?
You know what? I didn't miss it until we redecorated. Now, envy, jealousy. And
you like this way better.
Yes, I'll eventually squat in here and retake it.
You think so? You'll take it back.
It's all because of the decoration. Yeah. I mean, it used to be kind of boring.
Well, we used to have pillows, too. Yeah.
That was a little much. I'll let
y'all. This, of course, is prime for an overreaction type of day as we do get into the Coach McVay show, as always presented by Microsoft Surface. Glad to have our special guest, Les Snead. How should the Rams feel about being 2-2 at what is normally the quarter pole of a season?
You know, 2-2 feels like 2-2, right? It's maybe not necessarily 1-3, a little more panic mode. Not necessarily 3-1. I always do the math like this. If you're 1-3, you got to win 3 straight to be above 500. If you're 3-1, you got to lose 3 to be below 500. Mm. But when you're 2-2, you're a game away from either. But that's our reality. Mm-hmm. And like anything, we just got to October, so it's a long season. Not there yet. Still trying to find ourselves, navigating, you know, new players, new pieces, injuries, things like that. But that. We've done that every year, and we're going to continue to do it.
Why would you overreact to a game like that when you're on the road facing a really good defense with your fourth starting offensive line, you know, and they're getting to your quarterback? Why would that be an overreaction?
Now, I don't think it's an overreaction. I think it was a game. I think Sean said it in the locker room. I mean, they're one of the top defenses, maybe the top statistically in the NFL, playing that way at home. So you knew it was going to be a grind it out game. I think they've probably been a defense that maybe have let's call it caused offenses to go 3-and-out more than any defense in the NFL this year. We were able to sustain some drives. We won the time of possession. We were able to get first downs, move some chains. They're tough yards. They're not pretty sometimes. I think what hurt us along the way, right, we didn't capitalize getting inside the 10 twice, one time you're on the 9, so that's a long way. So point being, you shouldn't overreact to that. That's quality team, the overreaction comes right as you had the ball at the end, driving to maybe tie, and you don't go four and out, you throw a pick six. So that, I think that emotionally you got to get over that.
Mm-hmm. How do you find the line between being patient enough to allow this coaching staff to work with the existing players to make the improvements they need to get you back on track versus attacking a day like today with the urgency that maybe is within your potential to make incremental improvements to help them in that pursuit?
Excellent question. I think the interesting thing, because it is a short week, this is probably not the week, right? Let's call it make a transaction, bring in a new player per se, because that player wouldn't know, you know, the schematics, and we got a quality opponent against Dallas. But I do think what you continue doing is navigating, right? How are we evolving? Where are we at? What are we strong at? What are we not as strong at? And at the end of the day, when you're not as strong as something, do you maybe eliminate that, you know, from the repertoire that year? Can a new player, right, bring that repertoire some life? And that's just something that you, like we're doing as a team, it evolves, it takes time, it takes study, it just doesn't happen fast.
I guess what you're strong at offensively is throwing the ball to Cooper Kupp. So the positive is what, 14 catches? That's great. Cooper Kupp caught the ball 14 times against the Niners. The problem is, where's the help? Where's everyone else? So you know, I
great
guess
point. Cooper's a yeah. great player, but we do know that you probably can't keep that up. There'd probably be some wear and tear on Cooper. And I do think we've been at our best right when we have distributed the ball. And even in our two wins this year, I think I go back to probably the Atlanta game. I believe it was the Atlanta game. We probably scored our first 10 or 14 points without Cooper touching the ball. So I do think there's a way for us to get in rhythm for many reasons mm-hmm. to not just target Cooper. But at the end of the day, definitely want to still target Cooper.
I think the question I've answered most since last night was, where's Allen Robinson? So I would ask the same question. Like, I'm sure you thought there'd be more production, and why do you think there is a lack of production there?
You know, it's a great question. We're still trying to figure that out, mm-hmm. and we're going to have to. We're going to need to for our sake, for Allen's sake. I think in the two games where, let's call it, maybe he's been the least present, maybe Buffalo last night, that they both of those teams were able to pressure the QB. So right when you do design plays to get the ball downfield and there's less time to get – so you're either – right, you got plays designed, you're not calling them as much. When you do call them, people are getting to the QB, so it's a little bit harder to get the ball down the field in those moments. But still, that may be a reason, a variable, but I think also think it's, hey, he's new with us. How can we continue figuring, right, the things he does best out and adding them to the repertoire?
That indicates that the offensive line is the crux of the matter. Probably not a secret to any of us in the room, whether it's a lack of removal in the running game or getting on track on some of those early downs or being able to protect Matthew long enough for him to read out a progression. Kind of what's your commentary on that matter? And now that we know that Coleman Shelton's going to be down, kind of adding to your list of injured linemen, how can you come up with a creative solution?
Well, I know going into this game, we had four games, four different offensive line lineups. So with Coleman being down, we're going to go and have a fifth game without that. So that is part of it. The other part, give the enemy credit, especially Buffalo, San Fran. They can – that their front sevens do wreak havoc, not just on our OL, but others. So you got to go into those games strategically when you do play them. But it's going to be up to us to continue getting better there, stabilizing it, and with that's going to, you know, need to be continuity. But the neat thing that we've been able to do is right, probably until last night when Colone had to go in, and what's great is he's San Jose State, kind of a little bit of, I don't want to call it a hometown, but home college right down the road, came into a tough environment, and you know what, give him credit, played dang solid. So but up until him playing, everyone that's really been able to insert has actually played and started a game, and we've won games with each of those players starting. So that's the positive. The negative is they're playing different positions and different lineups, but all teams go through that. We've been through that before here, and we've come out on the other side stronger than weaker.
How bad is Coleman Shelton? I didn't hear the word.
High ankle, 4 to 6 weeks.
High ankle, 4 to 6. Oh boy. Okay, when does Brian Allen come back? Soon? Hopefully?
Soon.
Yeah.
Not soon enough.
Okay.
And perhaps David Edwards, too, who's in the concussion protocol.
Yes.
Yeah. Is that where we are?
Yeah. I mean, right now, I'd say, you know, David's definitely looking like a thumbs up to play. Still has right procedures to go through. But if we were betting the day, he's playing. And, you know, Brian Allen's still day to day.
Split right down the middle.
So at the end of the day, it's when you get down to two centers down, that's taking on the water a little bit.
That's a hard one. You know, I was happy that David Edwards spoke up because of what happened with, you know, Tua lately. But, I mean, like, wow, you're missing the guard for San Fran. That's a toughie. I get it, but that's a toughie.
Toughie, and you know what? I give him credit for speaking up. And it was hard on him because, right, he wants to play. He didn't want to let down his teammates because we were playing San Francisco. So that's not – I would say that it is not a binary black and white decision for someone to make because mm-hmm. it is very complex. But – give Dave credit because it's for right coming to the table and saying, wait a minute, I may need time. And also give him credit for being able to, let's call it, manage the week, manage last night, because he actually is a human and feels like I'm letting my teammates down, wow. Which he was not. But that's how he feels. And you know how it goes. When you feel that way, that's how you feel. Mm-hmm. So it's up to us to let him know that, no, he was doing the right thing. That's how the procedure should work.
Les, do the lessons of a winless November last year turned into an undefeated December serve as a valuable frame of reference when we do hit a rough patch like this?
What I do think it does from a macro standpoint is and 2022 is different than 21. From a macro level standpoint, though, all of us, most of us in this building know what it's like to go through, a three-game losing streak. So we're just on a one-game losing streak, but let's just say we've lost two of four. Point being, all of us know this. It's just that was November. This is just September. So there's still plenty of football left. Heck, there's still, 13 regular season games, a lot more playoffs. End of the day, that's a long way away. The macro lesson is all you can really do is focus on this week. Mm-hmm. And then once this week's over, focus on the next. And at the end of the day, you can start counting, and see where it all ends.
Is losing one a streak? That's one.
I think it's more just some of the offensive line, some of the passing game, some of the offensive traction was lacking, and the turnovers piled up. And so I think there's just a familiar feel there, at least to our audience that understands. Hey,
well, great point, JB, because going into that losing streak last year, right, the Saturday before the Monday night loss to San Fran last year, we lose Robert Woods to an ACL. I mean, at that point in time, we had just, on the same day, we had signed OBJ. Well, there was discussion that we don't even play OBJ against San Francisco that night because he doesn't know a play. Mm. Well, lo and behold, he actually starts that night because Robert Woods goes down. Point being, like you said, Jimmy, that we were not who we were going to be when we played Cincinnati last game of the season, that night in San Francisco for sure.
Yeah.
And there was a lot more to evolve in terms of getting everyone on the same page, aligned, who can do what, and figuring out who we were going
to
be.
But in a lot of ways, you are still who you were then at the top of the organization. And so my question to you is your level of confidence, I guess, in someone like Sean McVay and his ability to find solutions to complex and new problems like these.
Yes, the answer is, Sean, his staff have always figured out ways to continue evolving and also, let's call it adapting, adjusting to attrition, to adversity. And, sometime last year, we brought out 13T where, we had a couple of OL probably had, seven OL on the field. With a Higbee, as maybe a nub tight end. So point being is, based on who's available, who's playing at their best at their moment, the scheme, who we're attacking, they've definitely shown the ability to evolve and adjust. It can be frustrating sometimes. It can cause you to pull your hair out sometimes. But it's what all teams are doing, and it's what we have done in the past. So I would say that, hey, we're definitely we know that we have the capability.
Right.
To adapt, to adjust, to evolve. And what we will intentionally try to do is not just, let's call it stabilize it, but actually try to figure out, time will tell, if we can actually use this as an advantage and be stronger on the other end and not just stabilized on the other end.
Wow. Look, you coach your way out of this many injuries on the O-line. Super impressive. Maybe even more impressive than last season, but that's the way it is. Defensively, we kind of had this narrative that Bobby Wagner is here to play against them, play against SF, and I think he led the team in tackles.
Are you counting the one on the fan?
I was just going to say, do I count that one too? That was a good shot. Yeah, but led the team in tackles.
It wasn't. I'm telling you, that was awesome.
The hit?
Yes.
Tremendous.
Oh, yeah. I can promise you this, the protester did not think at a second or third level of, I'm going to make this decision to run. I'm not sure that protester ever contemplated that, Bobby Wagner may lay him out.
Wow.
But it will cause next protesters to at least get to the second, third level.
Stay between the hash marks. Just
don't run to the opposing team.
Do not, absolutely. But I thought the defense played pretty good. You held them to 17 points. They got the pick six that kind of adds to it. But defensively, outside of a few big plays, I thought they were hanging in there trying to keep the game close for the offense.
No doubt. You're speaking of Bobby Wagner. I know, I'm not sure if you were in the locker room at halftime, DeMarco.
No.
But I know this. Bobby Wagner, he let it be known in that locker room that, okay, guys, I haven't been around here much. Basically, he was basically, I hadn't been around here during this six-game losing streak, but enough's enough. Let's do our part to win the game. And it was a pretty impassioned speech, and you're like, okay, that's definitely – check the box. That's one of the reasons why, you know, we brought Bobby Wagner on. And at the end of the day, they really did come out and do their part, right, to help us win that game last night.
I like the statement he made. He went out for the coin toss with Matthew Stafford, who's typically been your lone captain out there for the coin toss. He had Bobby Wagner at his side. I kind of like that. I thought that was a good statement to send.
Bobby, he was protecting a lot of people last night.
I don't think he had a choice. Yeah, he was going out there, really was. No doubt.
Looking at your rookie class a little bit, kind of a familiar refrain that we've already touched on, where injuries have compromised a lot of their ability to contribute early on. But we did see some good signs with Kobe Durant in his debut, and more recently, Darion Kendrick. Looks like you found yourself another starter in the secondary. I loved his response to a couple of key plays last night.
You know, great point. He's been making plays since he got on the field in training camp. I think we all saw that if you were at training camp watching practice, and to see him continue to do it. What I've really appreciated about DK is this, and this is DB mentality, is he made a heck of a break on the play Debo scored. Probably if Jimmy Dutton sell it a little bit, might be a pick six.
Right.
With that being said, give Debo credit, right? Jumps up, makes the catch. We miss maybe a PBU, them punting or pick six. Very next series on a third down, he says, you know what? I'm not going to play it safe. I'm still going to attack, try to get him off the field, and he made a PBU. Yeah. So you love that mentality of being able, right, to be aggressive and maybe forget a negative to continue making positives. That's something that not every DB has. I don't know if that's genetic, if it's socialized, a little bit of both, but, boy, it's a nice combo to have.
It's not too big for him, you know? He wants to play. Is that something you saw in him when you were scouting him, like, this guy has a penchant for big moments and big games?
Well, what's interesting, DeMarco, going back, I don't think he – we'd have to fact check this, but I'm pretty sure, pretty certain, never lost a high school football game playing quarterback. Pretty sure he won four state championships playing quarterback. Not the same high school, maybe two. End of the day, starts at Clemson as a true freshman. So – then transferred to Georgia, won a national. So, been in the college. What I'm trying to say is the pedigree there is this guy's been doing this, let's call it a long time at different levels, at big time levels. And you definitely felt that at Georgia. End of the day, like a lot of things, ran the slow 40, pushes him back to the draft. Obviously, we love that,
yeah.
You know, here with the Rams.
We mentioned
40's the 40. Playing's playing.
No doubt.
We mentioned the incident with the pink smoke bomb. The other thing that caught a lot of attention outside of the game was the incident with Tack on the sideline. From an organizational standpoint, coaching staff in the moment, player personnel, even up to the GM's office, how do you handle something like that in the moment and in the aftermath?
I think right in the moment, let's call it, try to stabilize things, calm everyone down, be poised. Those things happen. You know, big picture, right, then sit down, let the dust settle. Try to talk through things. Try not to overreact. And I know Sean, his staff, sat down with Tack. Again, he is a very fiery, emotional, and can be impulsive at times. We knew that. He's had that history. Now, there's times where that's very positive. Then there's times where it's going to be negative like that. So it's going to be up to us, along with him, to continue the off. Key right now is communicating, trying not to overreact, and then again, continue to monitor the situation, make sure that, right, everyone channels that passion into, right, a positive impact and not a negative impact.
I caught the tail end. I was on the play, and then I came back. I saw the end of the dust up. I couldn't figure out what it was. Was it player to player, player to coach? I mean, I was distracted. I kept going back to it while the game was going on, so I can only imagine what it was like over there. So was it player to player, or can you elaborate some?
You know, it ended up, I do know this, what got caught on television was Tack and Justin Hollins, you know. So I think at the end of the day, Justin was probably trying to calm Tack down, and then that's that. But so I think the bottom line is this, frustrated kid really wanted to play, didn't play as much. So he's coming off an Achilles. We're trying to, let's call it, acclimate him back in. So it's going to take a little bit of patience on his side, and we'll work through it.
Before we get your take on the 2022 edition of the Dallas Cowboys, just a quick reflection on what they've meant to the Rams' return to Los Angeles, be it the first preseason game at the Coliseum, the first playoff win with Sean McVay as the head coach. First win at SoFi, unfortunately, in front of an empty building, but nonetheless looking forward to seeing the star back at SoFi on Sunday in Week 5. What have the rivalry with the Cowboys meant to you?
Wow, I think when you play the Dallas Cowboys and you see that star and you understand why they're the brand they are, is like when you see that star, you're like, okay, we're in the NFL. Like that, it's just something about that star. I started with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Nothing against the Jags, right? But when you see the Jaguar, right, you could be, where are we? Star, you know you've made it to the big time. So that's the neat thing about that brand, the history that they have, that they continue to make. And you know it's going to be a big game. And going back to that, I remember that very eerie Sunday night where there's no fans in the stadium. And you know you're on Sunday night football, but somehow you're like, are we really on? Maybe that's what an actor feels like when you're just filming a show, right? Yeah. And there's no it's not like the old sitcoms and they got the audience, right? It's like, okay, it's really quiet here. But when you see the star down there, you're like, okay, it must be Sunday night football. But sure, that's what the Dallas Cowboys means. They're really quality football team right now. You got to admire them, right? They were adversity week one. Wow, three straight wins, Cooper Rush, things like that. So you know they're playing really good football, really good defense, and their offense is taking advantage of it.
It's like no hatred, but really competitive, right? Your opponent. Cooper Rush, surprised to you that he's playing this well? I mean, I'm sure you've evaluated him or talked about him at some point.
It's interesting. He's one of those young men that I know this has played well in preseasons. But, okay, what are they going to do when they get to play? Well, I know last year when he did get to start, he actually had a really, really quality game, and they won it. So I do think when a backup QB goes from, let's call it, taking it from the preseason and then applying it to Sundays when it counts, and then you actually get the win, I do think now there is a belief amongst, right, the other 52 that, wow, okay, we can win with Cooper, and as long as, hey, we do our part, he can do his part. So I do think that's – you can see that being so not surprised that they – have been winning with him based on the fact that last year when he did get a shot, a little bit like John Wofford did with us against Arizona. Like when a young man gets his shot, not only plays well but leads you to a win, there's a contagious belief that we can do this again.
I was going to say, I knew that narrative. Yeah, I think I lived it. Yeah.
Familiar. You saw him just last night
bit.
To our left.
A little bit, yeah. Warner, there's a movie about it. Yeah.
And they are definitely a pass rush that will test your ability to repair.
That's a great question. Hate
to. Yeah, no, go back
so
to
at
it.
At what point, DeMarco, like when you – I can remember, and I was in the NFC, maybe we were the West at that time, Falcons.
Falcons, yeah.
So, end of the day, we were in the same division at the time, and, I mean, Trent Green goes down. It's a morgue. But
kind of, yeah, yeah.
I mean, kind of, but point being, it just maybe it was just Dick who was, you could tell he was devastated.
We were all nervous.
But at the end of the day, I don't remember when it was, next preseason game, whatever it was, Kurt was playing well, however, and then he started off hot. I mean, you maybe beat the Niners.
Baltimore.
It was first point game. Being, at what game did you go, this guy's not a backup?
Like Baltimore, that first game. Like, we went in with the mindset of, we're going to have to protect this guy, run the football, play tight defense, and then we're like, wait a minute, he's pretty dang good. We're going to be okay there. And then we can just do what we do. Yeah. So that first game, immediately we knew this guy was going to be all right. Yeah.
Didn't take.
No, not very long.
As for protecting Matthew Stafford, the QB1 right now is going to say that Dallas has a front and some pass rushers who will thoroughly vet the Rams' ability to kind of restructure and repair up front this week along your offensive line.
They're definitely – I would put them in the – we've played Buffalo. We played San Francisco. We're playing Dallas. They're going to – you know, they're as good a front seven as we're going to face, if not the – you know, some of the better ones. So we're in for it again. So that's – it'll only pay dividends down the line, right? That's just NFL football.
Sure is. All right, let's book you next time following a win.
Definitely.
A long week.
I didn't know that.
Maybe even an open date. A victory Monday.
Yeah, that's. I'm all for that.
Keep your calendar clear.
I like talking to you. I didn't know it was after losses. Yeah. It's like the Les Show.
And thanks for letting us take over your space. We do love the new digs.
Definitely.
Oh, the new digs are awesome. Can't wait to get them back.
Come springtime. The next draft season. For our general manager, Les Snead, and DeMarco Farr, I'm JB Long. Thank you, as always, for joining us for this edition of the Coach McVay Show, presented by Microsoft Surface.